I, Baruch Hashem, have the opportunity to introduce the Brizel Talk several times. I'm going to keep it short because I know the hour is late. But it is a great zechus for many of us. I know many of us are coming to the Frozen Swag to hear Torah from him. It's a special zechus over the summer. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the opportunities that we had to learn in Roko many years ago to learn Maseches Vachim. We'll re-explore components of Maseches Vachim today. And it's, again, a real privilege for the Kolel that we've had so many Rosh Yeshiva over the course of the summer. I really want to take an opportunity to thank all of you for enhancing our base medrash over the course of the summer. And to me, there's no more fitting way to really have on our almost final day words of Torah from Mori Varabi. So without further ado, really
to speak from.
I think Newberg usually gives shir from here. Whatever Rabbi prefers.
Oh, this way.
Bring the shtender, yeah.
Okay. No, this is fine. Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here. Sorry for the lateness. What? No, this is fine. But thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for the... I apologize for the lateness of the hour, but Route 4 also contributed a little bit to that. And also for, you know, we were trying to put together this, you know, possibility of coming, but my schedule's a little bit crazy. It always is, but even in the summer. So, you know, I hope we didn't cause anybody... untoward delays, and I'll try to also just make this very brief because I know that you're supposed to be leaving at 5 and it's a kolel, so it's like, you know, I would be playing mafs and mamon if I go, you know, too much overtime, unless we can convince, you know, the powers that be that, you know, that, you know, we can add those minutes, you know, to the the topic, I didn't really know what everybody had done, although Josh gave me a little bit of heads up, so it sounds like he didn't get to the third parak, so I figured that would be fair game. So I thought I would pick a topic, an important topic, one that has broader implications as well, and without any effort to exhaust the topic, because we just don't have time to do that, it would either way probably take a couple of shiurim. It's a very important topic, but to hit at least some of the basic ideas and the bigger, you know, questions, at least, you know, food for thought, if nothing else. I'm trying to find the Mishnah here. So the Mishnah that I wanted to speak about was the Mishnah which talks about combining, let me just read the Mishnah from here, combining Chametz Haminim and Orez in order to engender either the obligation of challah or also, you know, what impact that has particularly on matzah. But, you know, maybe there are implications for other things as well. We'll see. So the Mishnah says that ha'osa isa, this is Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, ha'osa isa min achitim u'min ha'orez, that if you, you know, create an isa, from chitim, which is of course one of the chametz haminim. It's always good to see all the talmidim here. Keep discovering new ones, but it's very special. To osa isa min achitim min aorez chitim. Of course, we know from the first mishnah in chala, chamisha dvarim chayavim bechala chitim asarim akusmim shibolas shual v'shipon hare elu chayavim bechala. And then the mishnah says umitzarfim ze im ze. So that mission already establishes that, you know, there are five mine dagon. And the mission also establishes, we'll get back to this, that there can be a combination. You could be mitzaref from the different, you know, dagons to each other. And the Yerushalmi has a whole discussion about that. Is that so obvious? Does everybody agree? What does that mean? All very relevant to this as well, but we're not going to be able to go into most of it. So one of them, the first one that's mentioned on the Dagon list, is of course Chitin. And we know that the Tziruf will work, although again, that's all discussion. These are Chayavin Bechala and they're Mitzarfim Zemzeh. But of course, Orez is not on that list. And therefore, it's a bit surprising that a combination of Chitin and Orez you know, can also create a chiyuv chala im yeshba tam dagon, but of course that's the wild card. There has to be a tam of the chitim in this tarobes. So then chayeves the chala v'yotzei ba adam yidei chavaso the pesach v'in bein ba tam dagan, if it's lacking tam, then ena chayeves b'chala v'ein adam yotzei yidei chavaso the pesach. So there are several things right off the bat to note. And again, since we're only going to be able to touch on certain things, so a lot of food for thought, I hope, in this presentation, more than figuring out all the answers. The big question, of course, is how does some foreign substance, which isn't a dagon, how can that be part of the composition of an isa, which is chayiv b'chala, or for which you could be yotze yedei, chavascha. Even al yedei tam. I mean, that's the way that it's done. Does tam have the ability to transform the identity of an object? And if so, why is it only orez? So this is the first thing to ask. How does this fit in with the Mishnah, Perek Aleph Halacha, or Mishnah Aleph? When we talk about the Chameshas Aminim, and even then there's discussions about Tziruf. Is that a case when there's no tam or no distinctive tam? How would that fit in? Also very important. The Rajba in Piskei Chala, actually, of the Rishonim, points to that in order to indicate, that there are more requirements than one might think for this Mishnah. There are invisible requirements, which we'll get to in a moment, the position of the Yerushalmi. Is this a special halacha of chala and of matzah? Is it a special halacha in the interrelationship between chitim and orez? These are all questions. And if so, if it is an unusual halacha, what is that halacha and how does it work? We'll see in a moment. The Yerushalmi calls it greira. The Gemara in Masechet Zvachim, Ayin Chesem and Aleph, quotes this Mishnah very prominently, but doesn't say anything about Greira at all. This is the context is also very, very interesting. Sugya here, what does that have to do with Zvachim? It's talking about Dam, and at what point Dam disappears. So the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Obey says that Dam Shenisari B'mayim, Emyeshmar is Dam, Kosher Nisari B'yayin, Rono Sokilu Humayim, Nisari B'dam, Behemo B'dam Achaya, Rono Sokilu Humayim, meaning under what conditions is the Dam of a Korban still present when it's interacted with and become a Taroves with something else? So the question there is the question of Bitul, of losing an existing identity where that identity or that category, is important and significant. And the Gemara discusses, the parameters of when there's bitol, to lose a required identity. We sometimes call this kama kama batel. So you can see what's going on here. And then the Gemara expands on Resh Lakish, Pigol, Anosar, Hatame, Shabalon, Zebaze, the Achlan, Patur. What happens if we're talking about Taroves between Isurim? Does that obliterate the identity of each one? Is there a common, shame Isur? How does Bitul Isurim Hadadi work? And then the Gemara says, Shmamina Tlash, Shmamina Isurim, Mevatlan, Zeze. Shmamina no Saint Tam Barov Lav Daraisa, Ushmamina Asra Safek Lo Shma Asra. So the Gemara, picking up on this, says Masiv Rava, how can you say that Shmamina, that no Saint Tam, right, Barov is Lav Daraisa? After all, Asa Isa Minachitum and Minaores, this Mishnah in Chala, Imesh Batam Dagon, Chayeves Bechala, the Afagav, Deruba, Orez, so the rov is orez, the miut is chitim, and apparently the tam is koveya, right? Even though there is no rov, that's exactly what the Gemara said. Doesn't seem to be true. Says the Gemara, You know, what are you going to say that it's only drabanan? Ihachi ema seifa adam yotzeba yidei chavasa. The Pesach to talk about chi of chala midrabanan, so that would be a chumrah. So you could say that this is a din drabanan. But since the Mishnah includes not only the chiyuv of chala but the mitzvah of matzah, so that would be a that wouldn't be a chumrah, that would be a kula to say that you could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah if there really was, you know, insufficient identity of matzah when you combined it with orez. If there's rov orez and miut chitim, but there's tam, and if that's enough, then you shouldn't really be able to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah the Pesach, not d'oraisa. Obviously, that depends on d'oraisa. Ella says the Gemara min sheinu b'mino b'tama min b'mino b'ruba. So the Gemara makes a distinction between min b'mino and min sheinu b'mino, and says in Achanami when it's min sheinu b'mino, so the din of tam is koveya min haTorah. So if you look at the Bavli sees this Mishnah as being connected to, questions whether that's the entire story or not, we'll get back to that in a minute, the question of Tam Keikar, if you will, or Tam, the role of Tam, etc. The Yerushalmi, you know, has a different take. So it's again, but before, just to get back to the Bavli for just a minute, that's very interesting that what starts off as a discussion of, you know, retaining the identity of one chefza, just to point out kind of the leap in the Gemara, namely dam, right? We're interested in dam, and we want to know when or if dam went away, right? That ends up being connected with something on the surface far more ambitious, and that is the ability to create an identity, not to retain an identity, you know, that is diluted but still has tam, but to create what seems to be an absent identity or a new identity through tam, right? Because bepashtos, what's required in chala and in matzah is not that orez, you know, disappear, right? And the question whether it does or doesn't disappear, even that is actually not the same, because we're talking about not the tam of the orez, but, you know, that would be comparable to the tam of the dam. But we're talking about creating where you don't have, you're talking about transforming one object into another by means of, if you will, tam. Yet the Gemara does connect those two things together and brings a raya from the Mishnah in Chal. So that is very interesting. As we'll see going forward, if this Gemara is not, you know, the entire story, but there are other elements to this Mishnah, then, you know, maybe that'll also help with that problem. That's a bigger problem in general. Anyways, the Yerushalmi seems to have a different take than the Bavli, on the surface at least, and some Rishonim understood it this way as well. We'll see just a couple of deos about the relationship between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi as we go forward. The Yerushalmi in Perek Aleph of Chala, Halacha Aleph, suggests that the basis, one second, let's get the Shalma here, just open for a minute, that the basis of this Halacha in Perek Gimel is the, some principle, very mysterious principle, called Greira. Right? The Shalma again is this obviously troubled by, you know, the relationship between the first Mishnah and the Mishnah in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. So, yeah, very interesting in general here. So the Rishalmi has different deos as to how Greira, or the scope of Greira, how it works, what works, what doesn't work, etc. But in the end of the day, the Rishalmi proposes that, right, there is this concept of Greira. We'll try to explain that. And the only question that the Yerushalmi deals with is whether or not Greira is limited to chitin and orez, is limited to chitin and orez, or at least maybe applies also to, I'm not going to read it because it'll take too long, it also applies to chitin and saorin, in terms of the Gorarim, but again, still may only be limited to Orez or not. So that is a debate in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph in the Yerushalmi. You know, to what does Gera apply? But basically, what the Yerushalmi seems to be suggesting is that you can't read the Mishnah simply computo, that Tam Ki'ikar is enough to create either the Chiyuv Chala or Lotzei Sinei Chavaso B'matzah, right? You need something additional. And that seems to be very logical, because again, even if you take the view that, you know, Tam Ki'ikar Doraisa, etc., the idea that that could, you know, create an identity as opposed to, like, you know, retain, you know, an existing identity is still a chiddush. But Gera, we're not sure how and why it works, but Gera is just a different category entirely. We have to see what the scope of it is. But maybe it has the ability to be transformative somewhat, or some other model, you know, that we will look at. So one aspect, or the first aspect of dealing with this mishnah is to try to figure out, is this just a din of tam ki'ikar? Like it sounds like in the Gemara in Tzvachim. Certainly that issue is identified in Tzvachim, and that's the pashtus of the mishnah, because the mishnah only speaks about tam, or whether or not there's an additional factor of gera, what that is, how that is, etc. Obviously, if everything revolves around bittul and tam, as I say, so this doesn't have to be limited to chitim and orez. They would be hechatimtzis, and the principle would apply, you know, to other things as well. If it's a din in gera, so the Yerushalmi itself is trying to pin down how limited, you know, this concept is, both in terms of, you know, the gorarim and the nigrarim. And then, of course, that would be more logical. It also should be noted, at least as a question, if nothing else, that, again, while the Mishnah, in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin, significantly doesn't only speak about challah, it speaks about matzah. So that gives the implication that implies that this is, like, you know, a broader, you know, idea, and that certainly is reinforced by the Gemara in Tzvachim as well, since the Gemara there is citing this Mishnah as evidence about a much broader, you know, topic, when it's talking about Isur Mevatlin Zezeh, Dam being Mevatel, other Dam, or being Nisbatel Al Yedei, other things. It's interesting, at least, to note, as part of the Limud of Challah, that in the very beginning of the Masechta, not only are we curious to know how this fits in with different views about the Tziruf of other Chameshes Aminim, but we could at least raise the question about the relationship to other Dagon applications. Because the Mishnah, you know, speaks about Chamisha Dvarim Chayav Mechala, then it lists the Chamesha Saminim, right? And then it says, Vasurim Bechadosh Lefnei HaPesach, Umiliktzar Lefnei HaOmer, right? And then has more things to say about that, in terms of Hashrosh and other things. Then HaOchamim Kezayis Matzah BePesach, for that we have also in Gimel Zayin, Yotzei Dechavaso. But then it's also Kezayis Chametz Chayav Beikares, Nisarev Echad Mehem Mikol Aminim, right, etc. And then there's no Dabana Pasum in Atua, right, Asar Bohem, etc. In other words, there are several other applications to Chamesha Saminim, to Mine Dagon, in the beginning of the Masechta. And of course, Shri did a lot of the discussions of, you know, Sufkinin and so on. The question, of course, what the relationship is between, you know, Chala and Bracha Rishona, Hamotzi, and Bracha Achrona, Birchas Hamazon. So it's just interesting. Once we're saying in Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin that this special din of Osa Isa Minachita Minaorez is not limited to Challah, and it extends to Matzah. Is this Matzah just an example of, you know, you could throw in the whole, you know, beginning of the Masechta and these other applications? If there's anything that is dependent upon Dagon or Lechem, get back to that in a minute, you know, we have this concept, you know, that Tam is going to expand or going to transform, you know, at least Orez, maybe other things as well? Or is there something very singular about challah and matzah? This is a question that, you know, is relevant if the foundation of this is, you know, especially based on, you know, what we already noted, which is that you could say tam ki'ikar, you know, and that doesn't mean you have to think that it can transform or create a new identity. So then the possibility of distinguishing between different things, and then, you know, trying to figure out where to draw the line, you know, becomes very real. Chala, matzah, chametz, bracha rishona, bracha achrona. And this, you know, there are in the achronim in particular discussions about this regarding, you know, bracha rishona, bracha achrona, etc. If, of course, you take the view of Greira, so then, you know, again, this becomes a relevant question, depending on how it is that Greira works. Like if Greira transforms, you know, Orez, you know, into Dagon and Chamesha Saminim, you know, it's a, some sort of a special interaction, you know, that obliterates Orez and transforms it into the other, then again, it's very reasonable that that would apply across the board. But given that Greira is, you know, Mechudash to begin with, and the fact that it is limited might imply that even when it does apply, right, it would be limited in its application. So even for those who take the Greira approach, the question of extending it to, you know, to Chametz, to Bracha Rishona, to Bracha Achrona, to Omer would certainly be an open question. Again, we're not going to be able to pursue these today, but these are things to think about. There's another element before we just take a few minutes and just identify three or four of the major shitos, and that is the relationship between this Mishnah, Perigimel Mishnah Zion, and the view of Rab Shimon ben Gamliel. Right, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel is quoted in the Tosefta, and, you know, in the Yerushalmi and so on, as arguing that, you know, there's a required shiur in this case. It's not enough that there simply be tam dagon in the orez. You need the shiur of dagon that is required itself. That's the perspective of the Tosefta, Perik Beis of Chala, Mishnah Aleph. Boy, kashir dagon. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's argument. The question, there are two questions. One is, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel really say? Get to that in just a second. The second question is, you know, do we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? And if so, is there any, like, particular significance to this Mishnah? So let me explain what I mean. The question of the shiur, what exactly he said is a very crucial question. When Rav Shimon Gamliel said you require the shear of Dagon in order, you know, for this halacha to apply, so what exactly did he mean? So the Rajba, you know, and the Ravid were of the opinion that what he meant was whatever din you're applying this halacha to, for that din you require the shear. In other words, for chala you require chameshas revayim, you know, of kemach, right? So that would be the shear in order to combine orez. Orez is only going to be a nigrar or whatever, or let's say nigrar. Nigrar, you could say nigrar, I guess. Orez is only going to transform, you know, into chala or matzah if you all first have a shear of chameshas revayim kemach and chala, and that would mean by extension that when it comes to matzah that you would require kezias, right? You'd require at least a kezias of matzah. However, it seems clear that some of the Rishonim at least understood that the required shear is the shear of chala. At least that's certainly how the Meiri understood it. The Meiri asks the question. He says, "I just don't understand why the shear of challah would be relevant to matzah. Ein ani mevin Pesach zeh. Of course, it's a play on the language. You know, Pesach zeh. You know, al shuma, right? Uma inyan shir chala, right? Liyitzias chovas matzah. Oh. So that, of course, is a very important question. So if Rav Shimon Gamliel requires, it sounds like in general Rav Shimon Gamliel is, you know, tamping down the chiddush, you know, of this Mishnah. Because obviously if you have the shiur chiyuv, the only question is how far do you go? Meaning Rav Shimon Gamliel is simply telling you if you have the shiur of the chiyuv, so then you apply some sort of an equivalent din, which is still mechudash, that the orez, you know, also becomes, you know, part of the Dagon, but you just need a bigger shear. It's not enough to have tam, you have to have also, you know, the shear chiyuv, in which case, like, how would that work and what does that even mean? What kind of compromise is that? We'll get to that. Or is he simply saying something much more innocuous, and that is, well, once you have the shear, so the orez isn't mevatel, you know, the rest, but of course you have to end up eating, you know, a shiur, or you have to end up, you know, in the case of matzah, eating a shiur of the matzah. Okay. So, as I say, with regard to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there are really three questions, you know, to raise. One is, do we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Ramban, in his Hilchos Challah, you know, suggests that the Yerushalmi, well, let me say it this way first, the Yerushalmi addresses the question of Rav Shimon Gamliel. This is the Yerushalmi in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. The simple reading of the Yerushalmi is that the Yerushalmi says that the Mishnah is against the position of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Then the Yerushalmi goes on to quote, I think, a machlokus between Rav Vina and Rav Hila, right, whether or not you require rov and tam, right, or it's sufficient just to have tam alone. But you certainly don't need the shiur, you know, that is required. You know, that seems to be the simple reading of the Yerushalmi. That's how they understand the Chachamim, and they understand that the Mishnah is excluding the position of Rav Shimon Gamliel. However, as I say, if you look at the Ramban in his Hilchos Challah, he had a different girsa in the Yerushalmi, according to which the Yerushalmi says, no, the Mishnah really, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, is a liba de Rav Shimon Gamliel, in which case you require tam, right, and the shiur. And then you get back to the question I asked before, what do we mean by the shiur, especially if we mean, you know, the shiur of chameshes revayim kemach, and we're applying that to matzah, which is what the Meiri understood some Rishonim were suggesting. That's very peculiar, and we need to understand that. Even if we're talking about simply the shear of whatever it is, meaning kazayas for matzah, you know, and chameshes roim kemach for challah, as I said before, so then the question is this, you know, a way of applying the idea that when you have tam, that you transform orez in some respect, or orez becomes also matzah or challah, or is this just a way of establishing, you know, that you can kind of ignore the orez, you know, in the mix, because of, you know, the presence of the shear and the fact that anyways on a tam level it's not a stira to the challah or the matzah, in which case there's not so much, I say, of a chiddush in what Rav Shimon Gamliel actually says. The idea that maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel would be a shear and still we would be talking about, you know, being yotze with the orez part, whether it's in matzah or in the chiyuv of challah, would connect us to another issue, and that is whether or not we ever find that quantities end up being a factor, like in defining the nature of a taroves. Okay. So, Mashal Amad Over Domeh, which I'm going to get back to in just a second anyway, you know, everybody's familiar that there's a debate whether tam is ki'ikar, and there's also the other view, which the Gemara speaks about in a few places, especially in the Avodah Zarah, and that is that you need tamo u'mamasho. And the Gemara says, Atamo mamasho is kezayis v'chdei achilas pratz. So typically, that is understood by Rashi in many places, and the simple pshat, and the easiest way to explain it, is that the din of kezayis v'chdei achilas pratz is a shir and tziruf achila. In other words, you have to eat, a be'en, within a certain time frame in order for it to be mitzdaref, l'shiur. So when we say kezayis b'chnei achilas pras, what we really mean is that, you're eating a kezayis of the actual ben, right? But you're eating it, kedei achilas pras, and you're just ignoring, what surrounds it. However, here and there seem to be indications that kezayis b'chnei achilas pras ends up being like a shiur in the tarovas. And of course, the best indication of that is the position of Rabbi Chaim Cohen, made famous by the Rush in Chulin. It's already late. And the Rush quotes it here as well. I'm just going to get to that in just a minute. Here in Chala, Rabbi Chaim Cohen was of the opinion that Tamo Mamasho means that when you have a taroves of Kezayis v'chnei achilas pras, when you have that proportion, that density of taroves, then even if you only eat a kezayis, right, you violate, right, and you would get malchus. That's the chiddush of Reb Chaim Cohen. That's how he understands the concept of tamo umamacho, so that the kedei achilas pras isn't just a shiur in zman and in the tziruf of the achila. It's a din in kezayis b'dechei achilas pras. It's a din in the taroves itself. So I think there are indications, not for now. Oh, this is for me? Thank you. Right, I appreciate it. There are indications that, the Rambam may hold this, at least in some places, that kezayis v'dechei achilas pras is just not only a shir in tziruth, but it is a shir in the taroves. Although, in those places, Rambam and Nukhtam HaKol HaSasuros, even more so the Rambam, some of you looking around the room were learned Pesachim with me, so you know whereof I speak, and we'll make an allusion to it a little bit later on as well. Now, particularly the Rambam's view on Taroves Chametz, in Perek Aleph Hilchos Chametz and Perek Daled Hilchos Chametz, we talked about Bayra Bayimatze, may very well be that Kezayis Bechdei Achilas Pras, right, is a category of achilas, tam. In the end of the day, not so much like Reb Chaim Cohen, at least not in the Rambam and Yad Chazaka, maybe in Sefer Mitzvot, but the Rambam seems to say that sometimes you have to eat a pras, but when you eat a pras, what you're really eating is kezayis, be'en, tocha pras, and that's why you're chai. Why am I telling you all this? Because, again, if this Mishnah is really Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, according to that view in the Yerushalmi, if it isn't just a way of saying that you've eaten the shear and, everything else around it, the orez, you can basically ignore, because anyways it's not a threat in terms of bittul, of the be'en, because it has, the tam of dagon. But rather what we're saying is that when you, we'll get to it soon, when you have a shiur of the be'en, right, so then the halacha of osa isa min achita min ha'orez, is transformative of the orez too, in some respects. So it might very well be like a very similar kind of halacha. And we'll get back to that in a minute. And that is mechudash, saying that there's some sort of like a chalos of achilas, Orez, as part of, this more integrated, chefza of chala or chefza of matzah, and that the association of the two, is what, if it isn't transformative, but at least what is mechayiv or what's mechayim, mechayiv you in chala and mechayiv you the mitzvah. Okay, so having said that, let me just try very quickly to speak about two or three of the actual shita. So let's begin with the Rush. The Rosh, in his Piskei Chala, in Hilchos Chala, everybody knows the Rambana's Piskei Chala, and then you get also the Rital Ghazi, you know, is a huge benefit. The Rajba's Piskei Chala, and the Rosh, of course, has Piskei Chala as well. So, one second. Here in Perek, in Siman Tesvav, right, the Rosh addresses this whole question. He quotes Ramban, which we'll get to in just a moment. After finishing with Ramban, the Ramban rejects this whole thing. We'll get to Ramban next. Ramban is very skeptical that Tam alone would justify, you know, the basis of this Mishnah. And therefore, he, you know, is a strong advocate that the Mishnah is really based on Gera. But even then, there are things to say about the Ramban, which I'll get to. But the Rosh, after quoting the whole Ramban, or major points of it, Od Herich Bedvarim Shein Lem Tzorech, okay, V'lo Yadanu Mai Koshele, Lama Yotzebo, Kimin Leika Kezais Bichde Akilas Pras, right? Chiti Isa Betam Umamish. So the Ramban's, you know, big pircha was, you know, what we started off with, which is how could Tam ever be enough to create a chi of challah or to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. In the end of the day, Tam is about bittel and not being batel or still being present, etc. But it's not about creating a new identity of a chayfetz. Orez can't turn into Dagon. That's what the Ramban assumes, and that is totally Lishitasa. We'll discuss it just a little more soon. So it's that issue that the Rush strongly disagrees with. The Rush's broader view in Chulin, and also in Bab Metzia, Dab Bab Medbeis, and in other places, the Rush is maybe the strongest like advocate of the idea that, you know, Tam Keikar should be taken, you know, somewhat, you know, literally. That, you know, Tam is like the identifying factor, and therefore can be a transformative factor, you know, as well. It's not just a factor in bittul or in presence, but it's a defining characteristic of the chefta, you know, itself. So, of course, this is the background for this is the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. There's a basic argument between Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Yaakov Orleans, and the Chachmei Sfarad, a massive, massive debate about Tam Ki'ikar and whether it's Lokeh, etc. Rabbeinu Tam was the opinion that Tam Ki'ikar is, you know, has somewhat of a literal meaning, and you could also be Lokeh. What about Tam O Mamasho? So Tam O Mamasho is for Min Bimino, not for Min Sheino Bimino. That's, you know, one of the answers to explain that particular sugya. But the Rush went much further than Rabbeinu Tam. Right, and the Rush, both in formulation and in dinim, argued that Tam really transforms, you know, nefach, you know, ha'iser lios keheter, and you know that could work, you know, in other things as well. Meaning, you become, you know, what the Tam, you know, actually is. And that's why the Rush was of the opinion that, you know, unlike the Rajba, who thinks that if there's some sort of a tarta de sasri, you know, that you have to address that, you know, in the case of Tam or Bittel, the Rush really thought that you do not, because he said nefach, you know, ha'iser lios heter, ha'heter lios iser, whatever it is, it becomes the Tam. And as I say, he advocates this view in Bab Metzia as well as in Chulin, but especially in Chulin. And there are all sorts of important nafkamina. So with regard to this issue here, when he hears the objections of the Ramban, which we'll get to in just a minute, Layadana Maikoshale, it's not even that he, like, you know, feels that he has terutzim. He's basically, you know, speaking a totally different, he's coming from a totally different place. From a universal, like, bittel point of view, this is like a very crucial point. Not only do they disagree, but like the point of departure is completely, one is completely foreign from the other. Lama yotze kivideleka kazayis b'dekinos pras chiti isa b'tam umamish. The tam ke'ikar, says the Rosh, this is in Chala, but it's consistent with what he says elsewhere. The she'in mino daraisa, that everybody will agree. The kivin shen nosnu achitim tam ba'orez, hafach hatam esa orez, liyoso kemo chita, vikarina be tamu mamasho chita. So again, you could see that he, you know, is not only telling you that it's, you know, asur, it's mutter, you know, when the effect of the tam, he's telling you that every tam, when there's real tam, I mean, it's not min bimino, is tamo umamosho, which is a very interesting formulation. Karina bay, it is. V'chein buchach bizvachim, of course, you know, he's going to invoke the Gemara in Zvachim. The Amar Shlakish, Apigo Vanosa, Vatame, Shabalan Zemze, Vachlum Pater, Shmamina, Nosim Tam, Brov Lavda Raisa, Masiv Rava, Osa Isom, and Achitim, and Orez, and Yesh Tam Dagon, etc. Afagav, Deruba Orez, Alma Minshen, Bemina Betaima, the Kim Shinasa Vatam, now he's talking, Nikra Al Shemo, the language is great, the Yotzebo Yedei Chova, the Choshuv Ketam, Umamish Chita, the Teda, also interesting, the Rab Yochanan who Amar Tamu Veloma Masho Ein Lo Kanala, the Iugufa Sfirulei Krav Yekiva, the Perakela Overnu Benazir Tam Kika Daraisa, Ela Vaday Hatam Osa Oso Kimamish, very strong. Vahu Taima, Vahu the Taima Veloma Masho Ein Lo Kin Pirsha Benatam Dairi Bimin Bimino. Vav, then he quotes Rab Chaim Cohen, he quotes him in Chulin, and he quotes him here as well. Vav Rab Chaim Pireish Tamu Masho Kari Kishiesh. Kizayis bichde achilas pras, ubahachi mayri hacha kishiyesh kizayis chitin kide achilas pras de orez. But instead of telling you that according to Rab Chaim Cohen, therefore, you know, if you were to eat, you know, the whole pras, you would end up, you know, that's not Rab Chaim Cohen's chiddush. So he explains the az nefach kulo chitin. That's the only difference between Rabbi Chaim Cohen and Rabbeinu Tam, according to the Rosh's version of Rabbeinu Tam, or the Rosh will just keep Rabbeinu Tam out of it, even though he thinks he's saying it for Rabbeinu Tam, is that for Rabbi Chaim Cohen, you need a more intense or more robust proportion of taroves in order to have Tam be transformative. And for the Rosh, right, any tam is transformative. Okay, the yotzeba yidei chova b'kizayis. That's Reb Chaim Cohen. But then, if that's the case, what do you do with Yerushalmi? But tam Yerushalmi shapir shatam mishum greira mishum davakashale nei dazirim basar tam v'chashiv kulan chitin mikol makom kiven deruba orez ein boli dechimutz v'heich yotzeba mishumatza l'chein hutzok lefareish tam achita. Gorer esa orez the goreim lovely dechimot. So this is also very mechudash in the Rush. That pashtus, a simple reading in the Yerushalmi when it talks about greira, is that this applies a to the phenomenon, like how can orez ever turn into, you know, dagon, you know, objectively. I mean, you know, even if it has its tam, the answer is greira. Number two, not only linguistically and conceptually, but the simple, you know, shot is that the first thing that the Yerushalmi is concerned about is challah, not just matzah. So whatever you're going to say about the requirement and the effectiveness of greira, right, it's first and foremost about challah, and then by extension in the Mishnah, if that's what the Mishnah is talking about, matzah. According to the Rush, l'shitaso, it's got to be that greira is a special din only in matzah. And what is that din? I'll speed to the rest of it. What is that din in matzah? The din that it has to be ba lidei chimutz. So again, those who learn psachim in general, and certainly those who learn it with me, know that this is like a very huge issue. In general, the Gemara in psachim, and you know the mfarshim in Chala, talk about, you know, right, as a shiur, you know, in lechem or in dagon. However, there seems to be, you know, the makor of that, of course, is chametz and matzah, and the psukim, you know, all over the place. There seems to be what I call a kind of yin and yang, you know, relationship between, you know, chametz and matzah. And the makor is that, you know, dvarim aboyim lidei chimutz yotze bo yidei matzah. So since that's the makor, even though it applies and is applied also to challah, the implication is that when it comes to matzah, right, there are two din. Like in when it comes to, you know, other aspects of dagon, you know, it's about the min. It's a way of establishing that, let's say, orez, all things being equal, maybe, you know, it's not, or other minim, you know, don't qualify. Only chameshes mine dagon, which are also mischanets, only they qualify, you know, as minim, you know, for lechem or chal. But when it comes to chametz and matzah, more particularly, like why is the makor there? Moreover, the Gemara applies this particular concept in chametz and matzah in issues that have nothing to do with the min, nothing to do with chameshes aminim. Right? The Gemara question is whether or not in these applications, whether they, you know, make it to the, you know, finish line, you know, or they just have aminas in the Gemara. But for example, the Gemara talks about the question of, you know, matzah shira. The Gemara speaks about, you know, whether or not the reason that matzah shira would be excluded from matzah is not because of lechamoni, but maybe because, you know, if something gets nilosh b'mei peros, you know, is eino ba lidei chimotz. Right? Even though, again, we're dealing with dagon. Right, it's not a din in the min at all. Big machlokas or rishonim, the riff and the balamor and so on, with regard to the question of matzah shira itself, whether the cases in the Gemara cases where there is mayim or there's no mayim, part of the argument in the sugya on lamed vav, in lamed hey and lamed vav in tzachin, revolve around this question, like to what extent lamaisa, does matzah, does something used for the shei matzah have to have the ability to be niskametz? And there's a discussion in the Rambam as well. It's just a shiur in the Chefta. The Gemara discusses, the relationship of Nashim, you know, both to the Isra of Chametz, Gemara Havamina, that, you know, women would be, permissible to eat Chametz on Pasach. We don't pask in that way, to make it clear. Then the Gemara says the opposite. But women are actually obligated, right, in the midst of matzah, even though it's a bit the same as mangrama, both havamina and maskana, based again on this linkage between chametz and matzah, and of course the very very important shakavatari about matzah shelteva. The whole mission says that matzah shelteva is prohibited, and the Gemara discusses whether one of the reasons, even if you hold, ein iser chalal iser. But maybe the stakes have to be either chametz or matzah. And if the stakes are, you know, tevel, so then it's not like a struggle between chametz and matzah. So then you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah either. That's a discussion in the Gemara. My point is that not only is the makar of this relationship between chametz and matzah with respect to, you know, shame dagon in the context, dafka, of chametz and matzah, but that the Gemara clearly considers in both directions that the relationship between chametz and matzah, you know, is not just about the min, but it's about the actual preparation, shmira, or the asiya, or the cheftza. Cheftza of chametz and cheftza of matzah have a certain special kind of relationship, and that's like a big, big discussion. In other words, part of the mitzvah of matzah may be the negation of, you know, kind of, you know, courting, you know, the possibility of it then like succeeding and overcoming so that there won't be chametz. And part of the Isra of chametz may be the neglect of the alternative matzah. That's very bikitzor. But the point is that this rush is actually a great raya for that concept. What the rush is saying is really, really, the Mishnah in challah is a great radical not from the Rosh's point of view, but a great exemplification of the Rosh's, you know, very strong view of Tam Ke'ikar. And Tamo is Mamosho, all things being equal. And it's Nefach, you know, Leos, not just Isur or Heter, but Nefach Leos Chitim Mamish. And the only reason that the Yerushalmi comes up with Gerera is because the Mishnah applies it also to Matzah. Right? When it comes to Matzah, there are two dinim. One is that you need Chitim, but there's another din, and that is you can't be Yotze, the mitzvah of Matzah. This, of course, is Mechudash. You don't have to hold it. If you don't hold like the Rush, you don't have to come to this conclusion either. But it depends on those other issues that I, you know, briefly alluded to. And that is that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah even if you have shame chitim, because, you know, you still don't have davar shabah lidei chimutz, because the orez is the rove. So out of concern for the matzah, there's a din of grera. And grera, you know, solves, you know, that particular problem. But that would lead him, that does lead him, to think that the only reason for Gerera is the Yerushalmi. And if you look at the Tur, who of course is the son of the Rush, he presents, again, all this in the way of the Rush, and doesn't even bother, you know, to discuss the Gerera. And even the way the Rush speaks about Gerera, it's, you know, by Yerushalmi Shapiris Hatam Mishum Gerera. You know, it's not like the Rush is necessarily embracing that. He's just trying to say, oh, like, you know, you'll ask me from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi holds that there's a special, not chumrah, because it's more than that, there's a special hagdara of matzah, you know, that requires boli dechimutz. You know, of course, it's also a little mechudash that the, if, you know, since the boli dechimutz does seem to apply to the shame dagan with regard to other dinim, why wouldn't he think that, you know, that maybe that would apply, you know, even to the challah part? I mean, even challah maybe requires ba, you know, lidei chimutz. But again, if it's to identify the shame, so then you have kind of very interesting situation where it already has a shame chitim, even though it's not ba lidei chimutz. So maybe since it gets it through tam, you know, if the point is to create typically anything that's not ba lidei chimutz, the chimutz isn't, in other words, a factor in the shame min. It's just a, you know, a litmus test in identifying the minim. So you'd have to say that for the Rosh as well. Okay, that's number one. Again, I'm not going to keep it too much longer. Let me talk about the Ramban, since I just talked about, you know, the Rosh as rejecting the Ramban. So the Ramban in general, in his view of universal Tam Ke'ikar, is much, much more reticent and much more subtle. The Ramban, for example, you know, all over the place, in Avodah Zarah, in Baba Basra, we talked to those who were here this year learned Baba Basra. Ramban in the beginning talks about, you know, the Kilayim Sugya, talks about, you know, possibly distinguishing when it comes to Tam between, you know, Iser, you know, and Heter, and Heter, and Heter. In general, the Ramban is much more reticent about the concept of Tam Ke'ikar, and really embraces, you know, Tamo Mamosho. So, not surprising, you know, that he has great difficulty with this particular sugya. So he says the following: Hamasisa Chazina Lefrusha Ulevrura Mishum Dekashav Amumahi. Okay, the Rush thinks like it's the best ever. You know, this is like the Mishnah, you know, that happens to most clearly like present, you know, what Tam Ke'ikar is all about. And you'd have to say, aside from the matzah part, you know, aside from the grayer part, that, you know, it's not just limited to orez and to chitim, etc. So for the Ramban, it's, you know, it's a muma and kosher. Midik toni v'adim yotzei decha v'asa b'pesach shaminim inodim b'doraisa, like the Ramban, like the Gemara says in Tzvachim, d'have kishel chitim kol emas te'ika tam b'dechitim. As long as it has tam chitim, b'afal gav d'ma'arvi b'gava orez tfei tuva. There's plenty of orez in there, even rove maybe. Vachanami asikne b'gemar kamper kol zvachim. You know, where the Gemara says what it says. Dikatam lo bantel. The kivet hoche ike lemedak. Da kaimelon kizayis b'dechilas pras. B'tamo umamasho daraisa. Hakol hecha deleke kizayis b'dechilas pras. Dikula amalav daraisa. V'nei nami detama labatel hechiotza b'yidecha vaso the Pesach. It's just like a different worldview. Meaning, the tam is not batel, but that doesn't a dagon make. Doesn't turn Ores into Dagon. It just means that whatever identity, you know, you have, you know, even if there's Rov against it, so, you know, it doesn't disappear. That's all. It's still present. It's not overwhelmed by the Rov. That's all it means. Ha'ikara Orezu. Ha'ashkham betalmud eretz yisrael perusha de milso, peruka, de kaparishu, taimud amasisim shum greira, v'ha'garsinu perakamud de mechilten de kala. Then he quotes, you know, the whole discussion. So what's interesting about the Ramban, again, the Ramban here is totally, in my opinion, lishitaso, in the sense that he, you know, clearly in other places also is not comfortable with this more radical, you know, transformation of identity through Tam. And that's why, again, the Ramban has all sorts of very nuanced chilukim in Tam Ki'ikar and as a heter beheter and all these kind of things. Okay. He embraces Tamo Umamasho. So the issue here is that Orez is not Lechem at all, but what we have is a concept of Greira. Okay. So how does that work? What does Greira do? So here it's interesting to note the way that the Ramban, you know, formulates this halacha. He says, one second. How does this work? Oh. Shaminan hashta, the time of the masisim mishum, the apagav, the isas ha'orez, ptura, the lav lechem hi, miu kama'arivla bahadi dagon, the islo tam dagon, hadagon goriro lasos hakol lechem, liyishayev bechala. What does that mean? So it sounds like the Ramban is not suggesting that Greira does what Tam cannot do. As one could have said, Ramban thinks that Tam, Ki'ikar, Kol Torah Klu, doesn't have the ability to create a new identity. Right? But maybe Greira, which is limited to Chitin and Seorim, or only Chitin and Orez, you know, there's some sort of chemical, you know, interaction there that that creates, you know, out of Orez, you know, Chitin. Like, you know, maybe there's some natural predisposition to begin with, you know, and then when you put them together, you know, with a sufficient proportion of Tam, you know, that the Orez, you know, can become sufficiently Chitin. But if you look at the Ramban, I think that's not what he says. The Ramban is basically saying that the Orez remains Orez. Delav lechemi. Miu kigma arev lo bahade dagon, the istam dagon, hadagon goro lasos hakol lechem lischayev bechala. So I think the diuk is, and this goes back to what I was suggesting a little bit previously, I'm going to expand on that with regard to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And that is, the Ramban is not saying, one could have said, that the Greira is a hafichas, you know, the identity, the zehut of the Orez and the Chitin. What he's saying is Orez will never be Chitin. But the mixture of Orez with Chitin as a hakol is chayev b'chal. In other words, the requirement of Dagon in Chala, and by extension Matzah as well, right, is it doesn't require that every, like, you know, molecule be Dagon. A predominant mixture, you know, based on Greira, you know, which will in totality be defined, you know, as Dagon dominated, right, will, as Kol Lechem, not as Lechem, Kol Lechem, and L'inyan L'yishayev Chala, right, that will be sufficient. That's the Chiddush of Gerah. So in a sense, that's very similar to what I was trying to allude to before, as we'll see in a moment, with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and that is that sometimes, now again, I'll just take a step back for a second, in a way it reminds us a little bit of, but I don't think it's literal, or maybe it is for the Ramban, because he doesn't think this is generally what it is, a kind of a Rubo Kikulo, you know, kind of an idea. But it's a very specialized Rubo Kikulo idea. That's why some who explain that even the Rush, who says, you know, Nefach, you know, Ha'iser Lios Keheter, or Nefach Hachitim, you know, Orez Lios Kechitim. So he doesn't really, does he really mean that? Right? Or does he mean to say that sometimes you don't define things, you know, by every molecule, right? You define things, you know, by the predominant ingredient, especially when it's really, like, overwhelming. It, you know, that could be the pshat, either in Reb Chaim Cohen or in the Rush. So, you know, again, if you were to still identify, let's say, the former, or basically, according to this perspective, what still is Orez, or what still is, you know, the previous identity of the object, it would still be that. But there's a kind of a Rubo Kikulo idea, by which I don't mean Nozlina Basarov, I mean it like Reb Chaim explained, you know. Rubo Kikulo meaning where the rove kind of defines the totality, the predominant element is the, you know, is the determining element when it comes to, you know, categorizing or classifying it. And therefore you could say that's the pshat. The when you say that, of course, that, you know, to the extent that you can still, like, filter out or identify, you know, the miut parts, there still could be nafkamina for certain, you know, for certain things. But the Ramban is saying something like that. Obviously, he doesn't hold that that's a pshat in, you know, in Rove. I'm sorry, in Tam. But he's saying something like that here, but only on the basis of Gerah. But what's fascinating is that, you know, what do you do? Two things are fascinating. Let's say. Number one, so why is this? How does Gerah work? So he explains, because Savri b'nei Eretz Yisrael, the Haidina Lesa, b'kusmin, u'b'shibalashuv, v'shipon, ela chitim usorim bilvad, hu shegorin, b'pnei shederech isa shanu, v'darkon shel b'nei Adam lasos isa, mishar min mimoy. Number one, he's saying, like, what is Gerah? It's nothing, first perspective, it's nothing magical. It's like, you know, this is what people, this is like a natural mix that somehow that people, you know, put together. And therefore what? Again, that makes it more likely that it's physically transformed. But again, the diuk is correct, which is that this is a din in lishchayv b'chala, and it's a din in lasos hakol lechem, as opposed to lasos chelek ha'orez lechem. So then the idea that, like, this is like the conventional thing that people do with these, you know, two minim. There's like a certain special kesher between chitim and orez, or chitim and sorim on the one side, and orez. But what's interesting is that even in the second formulation of the Ramban, then he goes on to say, "Va'od k'deka amri taima, kamand amar taman ein lecha ba lidei matz v'chametz el chameshas aminim bilvat." V'hachi kimul rabbanon, v'hachi bodku, u'dekvasei ein lecha nigrar im kulan liyasas isa v'lovo lidei matz v'chametz el chitin usorim. So in the second perspective of the Ramban, it sounds like he's saying it's not about dark and shel b'nei Adam, it's somehow about the physical, you know, interaction, you know, between them. But the point I want to make is that even here he doesn't say, and I don't think it's clear that he doesn't believe, that it's like a chemical reaction, like the orez or the orez and the And you know, the Orez and the Chitim, or the Orez and the Chitim and Sa'orim, you know, have this ability, you know, to combine, you know, and therefore, like in the second day, so it's Orez, you know, transformed, you know, into Chitim or into Sa'orim. Number one, look at the Raya that he brings, and also the way that he understands the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. V'udekamaisi raya, mihomasnitim perakol hazvachim, the min b'she'enu mino b'tama, right? The tama midaraisa labatel. Kushtu. See, the Gemara in Tzvachim should be a problem for the Ramban, right? Because, you know, if the yisod is grera and bitul barov, I'm sorry, and tam ki'ikar, sorry, is not really enough, right? So then the whole Gemara there is problematic. The Gemara there is a situation where there's not even a rov. There's only a tam. There's certainly no kazayis b'tekeh pras, and the Gemara is quoting this particular Mishnah. So what the Ramban does for that is to suggest, I alluded to this when I read the Gemara, because I know this what the Ramban is going to say about it, and that is that the Gemara is not saying that tam ki'ikar is sufficient to explain the din of the Mishnah. The Gemara is saying that it's necessary. In other words, if we didn't have tam ki'ikar and the orez, therefore, I'm sorry, and the pchitim would disappear, right? So if that were to happen, right, then the whatever grera does couldn't happen either. That's what he says. Buda kamaisi raya mimasisim perikol zvachim dimishena b'tamo kushtahu veladin urcha nami itmar the afal gav the chitim gorim esa orez itayma batel dovershen is batel meatzmo hech gorer esa cherim elavadai tamala batel the kivindol batel vi. Not only that, listen to this. The ichzi leads starufe bidanafshe kagon dika kazayas b'tchei akilas pras mitstarev lekol onshin shabator legabechala umatzanami goras aorez liosos lechem b'taima de parshina. Wow. So this is just sensational. So let me just explain, you know, for a minute. If Guerrero was some sort of a chemical reaction, right? So then it's the, you know, whatever happens in that laboratory, you know, when you mix the orez and the chitim to transform orez into chitim, you know, happens, right? And it doesn't matter whether in Kol Torah Kula, right, bitul, berov, cancels, tam or not. That's a halachic question, right? Whether you paskin, you know, tam kikar, you don't paskin tam kikar. That doesn't affect kihuzeh, physical grera. Doesn't affect the status of the orez if the orez is transformed somehow by this interaction. So what's clear in the Ramban is that this again is a halachic relationship. And what the Ramban is saying, even in the second daya and certainly in the first daya, is that this combination and the predominance of chitim, right, in the mix with orez, right, that is mechayev kala, even though the orez never attains the status per se, even in the mix, of dagon. Because it, as kol lechem, it's dagon, as a predominant definition, but not more. And therefore, what he's saying is that that couldn't happen. Because the orez couldn't be betoras tafel leikar of the dagon of the chitim, if you held right that you know that there's no din of bitul. So even though bitul is not sufficient to explain the Mishnah, bitul is necessary for the Mishnah. But then his additional point is also very important, and that is that the very fact that if you have kazayich b'kdei achilas pras, there would be tziruf, shows the presence in bitul, from a bitul point of view, from a tam point of view, that constitutes presence even when there is no kazayis b'achilas pras. That's because, again, for the Ramban, it's not, you know, Reb Chaim Cohen, where the kazayis b'achilas pras is a shear in the density of the taroves, and therefore there's no connection between a taroves absent kazayis b'achilas pras and a regular tarovis. For the Ramban, right, the idea is, you know, there's always a role for the tam, right, in determining, you know, do you want to be mitzarev, kidei achilas pras, you know, for the achila of some isur or some mitzvah, to be positive, say the mitzvah of matzah. So you ask you the kazayis of chefza shel matzah, kidei achilas pras. So Ramban's saying, yes, the tam, you know, let's say you were to eat kidei achilas pras, you know, a kazayis of matzah, you know, but it didn't have the identity of matzah all the way through. You wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah, even though physically you consumed, you know, what would have been, let's say, chefza shel kazayis, you know, in the right time period. So Ramban is saying that the role of tam is to keep the identity of the object present. That identity is important in kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, because you have to be still eating the chefza. It's not only a tziruf and achila, as well as this. So then what's fascinating is that the Ramban goes on to suggest that we paskin also like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And according to Ramban, you basically have a choice. You can either operate with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, if you have kazayis, he understands it to be kazayis v'achilas pras, as long as there's no bittul, right? Or if there is no kazayis v'achilas pras, there is no shiur like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, so then the combination of tam and greira. So in light of the way that he interprets the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara in, Zvachim, and his idea that tam, you know, being effective, you know, is a requirement for greira as well as for kidei achilas pras, I think what emerges from the Ramban is that what's koveya for challah and even for matzah, again, is not chefza shel dagan, right, but this larger, you know, shame lechem, you know, mi kol ataroves, right, that is accomplished either by kazayis v'chdei achilas pras or through bittul plus greira ends up being kind of a mitzar. With this, we can understand one other thing. It's a strange thing. I'm not really sure completely about it. The Ramban tries to bring a raya for his yesod, that also that we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, from the second half of the Mishnah. The last Mishnah in that parak. Parak Gimel, Mishnah Yud. And I'm really going to finish soon. I'll leave the Rama for another time. Hanotel Seor Miisas Chitim Venosen Latoch Isas Orez. Imesh Batam Dagon Chai Bechala Mla Ptura. Inkein Lamro Matevel Osa Bechal Shu Bin Bemino Vishalo Bemino Venosen Tam. So the Ramban actually quotes this to prove that. The Ramban is a diuk. So, Seif de Masnisen, Hanotel Saor Misas Chitim, Veloktani Hanosin Saor Shel Chitim Bi Isas Orez. Like, why didn't it just say, it says Hanotel Saor, right? That's Dagon, Me Isas Chitim. It sounds like there was a shear of Chitim already in the Isa. It should have said Hanosin Saor Shel Chitim. The isas oras, you take a piece of the isas, a piece of saor shel kitim, and you integrate it into the isa of the oras. Shema mina, says Ramban, de masnisin rab shimon gamliel hi, de amar binan dagan kashiur. Vein chitim gorin as oras ele kashiyesh bechitim atzman kashiur achiyuv. But the Ramban doesn't say, this is where I'm not 100% sure, but the Ramban does not say that you have to take the full shiur. It sounds like, at least the diuk sounds like, that according to the Ramban, you have to take se'or of chitim from an isa which is mechuyeves. Do you have to take the full shiur, or do you have to take it from the full shiur? That's the question. The diuk, and the Ramban saying, well, you see from there that we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that you need the shiur. So there are two, I says, lacuna. Number one, again, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel requires that you eat like the pras, that you eat, you know, the full shear of the ban. That's what we raised previously, right? Number two, we're not sure. This diuk that the Ramban is making, which, by the way, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim, the Rambam says it the way that the Ramban says, you know, the Mishnah could have said it, not the way it actually says it. But the diuk in the Ramban is only that there was a shiur isas chitim from which you took sa'or. It doesn't say you took a shiur of sa'or. So is it possible that if you take a shiur, if you take some sa'or from a shiur of chiyuv, an isa of sa'or, right, that in that circumstance the orez through greira will also become chay b'chala and chay b'matza? Even though you don't have the shiur of chiyuv. So I think the Mari Korkus was troubled by that. Ravid also seems to say something like this in Perek Vav of Hilchos Bikurim. Again, I'm not going to be able to discuss the Ramadar. I'll just tell you about the Ramadar for a minute. But do we have Bikurim? Oh, yeah, we do. Safer to drink it sometimes. Bikurim, the Rambam says, Halacha Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, "Ha'ma'ariv kemachitim v'kemach orez." We'll get to it in a minute. V'asam em isa em yesh matam dagon chay bechalim lav ptura. Afilo hoy sa'or chitim letoch. He just says sa'or chitim. He doesn't say sa'or mi'isas chitim. Right? Letoch isas orez. Maybe when the Ramban was saying, oh, he should have, maybe he was actually, you know, influenced by the language of the Rambam, you know, without telling us, yeah, the Rambam actually does say that. So the Ravid says, in general, he disagrees with the Rambam. Omer Ram Nira Limana Yerushalmi Debinan Sheba Dagon Kashir Krav Shimming Amliel. Doche Pasik Hilksa Kavase. Miulo Beinan Ruba Dagon. You don't need Rove, it's good enough to have Tam, but you do need a Shear like Krav Shimming Amliel. You need the Shear. Okay? Then when it comes to the Isa part of the Rambam, the Seifa, that's Halacha Yud, Mishnah Yud, Omer Avram Vuhushiya Hasa'or, he says, Me Isa Chayeves. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you took the whole Isa. Right? The Marie Korkus thinks that Isa Chayeves means something else. Let's say it's already Metukan. It's not Tevel anymore. Let's say you already Mafrish from the Isa, but you took, you know, chita from it. Can it be gorer, the orez, or does it have to be, you know, chita, which is mechuyeves, or from a mechuyeves? That's a very interesting question. It's very relevant, you know, to what we've been kind of discussing. Anyways, so the Mari Korkus also seems to be troubled by the Rav. He just doesn't understand what the Rav is, the case is. Like, what does he take? What does he mean? So I'd just like to explain in the following way, based on what we said for the Ramban. The Ramban, maybe the Ravid, etc. And that is, again, maybe it's this idea, even within Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that even if you don't have the shiur, right, because let's say you're not eating that part of it necessarily, you're not like eating the pras, or the equivalent of the pras, or you don't have the shiur at all, but you've taken it from sa'or, which is more prominent anyway, from an isa sheyeshba shiur, right? That these are ways of gauging, of establishing, you know, that you have like the predominant, you know, ingredient of dagon, you know, of chitim, such that the greira now of, let's say for the Ramban, the greira now of the orez, right, isn't about, doesn't need, right, to transform the orez. It just needs to be metzaref, right, the orez as a davar tafel, right, to the ikar of dagon, to say, well, you know, if not every particle is dagon here, but this is a predominantly chefza shel dagon, because it either comes from isas dagon b'shior that gives it the prominence, or because there is a shior, even if you're not, you know, using the shior in terms of the actual kima mitzvah of eating for matzah or the chiyuv of chal. Mashal lema davar dome, this is what I wanted to get from Hilchos Chametz. The Ravid in Hilchos Chametz seems to say that the problem of matzah ashira doesn't apply after afia. Like if you bake matzah and then you're metabolite with meperos or whatever, that's not called matzah ashira because it's after the afia. So a lot of the achronim are troubled by this Ravid. All right, they ask the question because the Mishnah seems to say in Gemara's discussion in Psachim, in the end of the third parak, is that if you had Rikike Nazir, right, etc., you know, the Gemara has a whole discussion if it's Lishma, it's not Lishma, etc., but it sounds like in theory you could use it for matzah, and then the Gemara has a discussion about what about matzah shira. Now there, the addition of the shemen, right, is la'achar afia. Right? So this is a question that Achronim are troubled by that Ravid. How could the Ravid say that after afia, right, there's no matzah shira problem? It's against, you know, the simple tradition. So the Rav once said in the name of his father that the answer for the Ravid is as follows. The problem isn't like an objective problem. Can you have, you know, if you inject, meperos la'akrafia, you know, per se, you know, that's not matzah shira or it is matzah shira. That's not the issue. The issue is more, how do you look at the shem lechem or the shem matzah? So typically, afia, like, you know, closes the books on shem lechem. If something's a milachem, so after the afiyah, it already has a shem lachem, and what's a shem lachem? So then you're going to put on, you know, something to make it, taste better, etc. There's no tziruf, basically. What you do after is like, you know, it's a separate action, and it doesn't, like, integrate. The heftza isn't changed by that, because it has no objective significance. However, said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, when it comes to, you know, a kutchum requirement of shemen, like, you know, rikike nazir. So the lechem, right, is omed, it's waiting for its shemen. Meaning that hagdara, right, requires the shemen. So you don't look at it as like, you know, it's lachar fiat, right? That's what the chiyuv kutchum is, that you're supposed to add the shemen after the afiyah, but of course it's mature. That gives it the hagdara of rikike nazir, you know, etc. So what I'm trying to suggest is something kind of like a similar idea, and that is that, like, what is it that defines when something is mitzuraf, you know, albeit tafel, but it can be predominantly, like, defined. It can be defined by the predominant, you know, combination or ingredient, as opposed to, like, you have two different things, you know, going on at the same time. Sometimes it's not the physical operation itself, right? It is the stature, either the expectation of, you know, when the process ends and then whether it's going to continue, etc. That's the example that I just gave. Or it's the stature, you know, of the objects in question. So the idea, you know, that even according to Shem Gamliel, even if you have the shiur, or that you could have, you know, a shiur of Isa, and if you take from the Isa, you know, that makes the difference, even though you're not taking the shiur of the Isa to begin with, but that already gives it the status of something which is like, you know, omeid, you know, Leo Skayev, you know, Bechala, because that's where it came from, or that's what the shiur is, and that determines that the Grera isn't an extraneous, like, addition, right, just like a chemical interaction, but constitutes, you know, a hashlama, you know, like the Ramban himself says, that it's, you know, it isn't, the orange isn't the lechem, but the grayer determines that kol alechem, you know, is daga. And if that's the case, then of course it's mechudash to say that that applies to challah. It's mechudash to say that that applies to matzah. But once all this is true, the possibility that, you know, maybe it doesn't apply to chametz, I'm not sure whether it applies to, you know, dinei chadash, you know, in hilchos nedarim, meaning why is the Mishnah in Perek Gimel more limited, right, than the Mishnah in Perek Aleph? Could just be that it's giving a sample case or maybe a kol shekein case. But possibly it's more than that. Okay, so just want to add way over time already, so let me just mention two other shitas very, very quickly. So far we've discussed the Rush and the Ramban, who are opposites in many respects, but actually there's an interesting overlap between them too in some ways. The way that I'm suggesting that the Ramban understands Greira, and maybe even Paskins like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, you know, which is quite different from, you know, sometimes how it's typically understood. The Rajba, I'm not going to read it inside in, Piskei Challah is very interesting, in that he combines, he thinks you need Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Greira. Right? Not either or, which is kind of what the Ramban says, but one requires the other. So this, of course, is strange. If you have Kazai Seki Las Pras, you know, why would you also require Greira? So again, if the Kazai Seki Las Pras is not eating the Pras, that might answer the question. Or it could very well be that the requirements of Challah actually are more rigorous instead of less rigorous than Kol HaTorah Kula. This is something that Reb Chaim discusses in his piece in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, and he alludes to it also in another piece in Hilchos Bikurim, and that is that maybe Chefza Shel Chitim are not, or Chefza Shel Dagon is not enough for Challah. Maybe you really require also a Shem Lechem, just as you might, I was suggesting for the Ramban, you might have a Shem Lechem even with less than 100%, you know, Shem Dagon or Chitim. It's very possible, Reb Chaim argues, that even if you do have a full Shem Dagon or Chitim, etc., that for Challah purposes, and maybe by extension Matzah, you know, you require, you know, more than just the ingredients. In order for it to constitute Lechem, that's why you need another level of integration, namely Greira. Yeah, it's very interesting that the Rajba is the Rishon in Piskei Challah who, you know, tries to bring a proof that you need both of these elements from the fact, he says, oh, well, if all you need is Tam, right, even with Greira, so, you know, why, what's the Chiddush of Chamesha Saminim in the first, you know, in the first parak? That's very interesting. But again, just to push back a little bit for others who disagree, you know, if you take the view that, you know, through Greira or through Bitol, but especially through Greira, that you have some sort of a, you know, not transformation of the Orez, you know, in the Chitin, but, you know, again, a predominant, you know, you're looking at the bigger picture, you know, it's this process that produces, you know, a kind of a lachem in a bigger way. In a way, it's more, what you might argue, ironically, is that that, you know, maybe applies more to Chitim and Orez, you know, and less so to, like, Chitim and Saorin, or Chitim and Shibola Shul, or Chitim and Pusmi. In other words, if it was not true that they were Mitzarev, according to the view that it's not true, that they are Mitzarev, it's because each one has its own stature. So this idea that there's a kind of an Ikar and a Tafel, and the Tafel is, you know, part of the, you know, larger picture, etc., maybe that Gufa, in other words, the Rajma was saying, Kol Shekein, I mean, if you could have Orez, you know, and all you need is a Bitol, you know, or Greira alone, then Kol Shekein, you could have that with the other Minim, what's the... But maybe it's not true, because the weakness of Orez is also possibly its strength. So just one final word about the Rambam, and we'll stop. The difficulty, of course, is clear. The Rambam, in Hilchos Bikurim, Perek Vav Alok Yid Aleph, and the Chuskavitz Perek Vav Alok Hey. In both places, quotes a Mishnah, Kipshuto. In other words, it sounds like he holds, like the Rush, that all you need is Bittul. And the problem with that, of course, is that the Rambam in Kol Torah Kula seems to be very focused on Tamo Mamosha, right, in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. It even sounds like, you know, the Rambam thinks that Tamo Mamosho, you know, is sometimes a step down. Certainly in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, the Chiddush of the Rambam is that, you know, if you have Tamo Mamosho, you get only a lav, you know, and not kares. Whether he says something similar in Macholos Asuros about Chelev is subject to the debate of the Nosa Kalim. I thought always it's a special din of Chametz, but there are those who understand that it's also a din, you know, in general. So if, you know, Tam alone is insufficient, and even Tam o Mamasho sometimes is a lower level, right? So for him in Challah and in Matzah, right, to quote, you know, that Tam alone is sufficient, is very mechudash. Very mechudash. So Reb Chaim doesn't believe it. Reb Chaim has different, you know, mahalchim, whether or not the Rambam paskens like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, but he just doesn't think he needs to say it because that maybe Reb Chaim assumes, as does, you know, a lot of the as do the Nosa Kalim, that the Rambam is working off the Yerushalmi, that he's working with Greira. Again, the Rambam never mentions anything about Greira, frankly, so that's a little bit difficult. But he does limit to Chitim and Orez, so that could go the other way. Reb Chaim has two views, whether or not he holds like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and simply relying on what he says, you know, in Machalas Asuros and elsewhere, like, you know, he doesn't have to tell you. He's telling you what's Mechudash here, and that's Greira. And, you know, the rest, fill in for yourself. He's not making it, you know, easy for you, maybe. Or does the Rambam think that when you have Greira, you know, that that compensates, you know, even for the absence of Tamo Umamosho? Not clear. Either way, the way that Reb Chaim understands Greira is very, very interesting. He has a whole yesod, not for now, but about, you know, the Orez remaining Orez, but there being a shame Isa. It's really not so far from what I was saying in the Ramban, but it is different. Meaning there's a shame Isa, which is Mechayev you in Challah. Harder to say this, you know, in connection to Matzah. And you can have a shame Isa, even though the components of the Isa themselves are not Dagon and they're not, you know, Chayev B'Challah, but the Isa still gives you the Chiyuv or the Shiur without it. And that's something Reb Chaim also discusses in Nuchos Bikurim, and that's something to follow up on in Hilchos Challah in general. If you want to take the Rambam Kipshuto and it's not Midin Greira, so you would have to say, you know, the opposite level Kiddush of the Rajba and what Reb Chaim says, and that is that when it comes to Challah and when it comes to Matzah, you require less of a absolute identity. I mean, you could fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with tam matzah, and that there is a chiyuv of challah, you know, with tam challah. And I think there is some evidence for that. I think the Prima Gadim says something like that, although with a different explanation, in his Psicha Koleles to Hilchas Chametz Matzah. He suggests also this possibility that, you know, that tam would be enough when it comes to matzah. Maybe it's connected to a whole bunch of gemaras where the gemara talks about, you know, tam matzah, tam maror. Usually the gemara speaks about it, you know, l'chumra, that you need tam matzah, you need tam maror. Is it possible that, you know, that's not just an additional requirement, but that that is the hagdara? I think that would be very mechudash, but at least that's something to think about, and I'm not going to take more of your time. So to sum up, there's this Mishnah in Challah. It's very intriguing. It seems to be relevant to the broader question of Bittul and so on, in addition to being specifically about, you know, Challah and Matzah. How it relates to the first Mishnah and how would apply, you know, the other applications of Chamesha Saminim Chadash and Nedarim and especially Chametz and Bracha Rishona and Bracha Achrona. How would we apply that, given that there are only two cases mentioned in the Mishnah? These are things to think about. Then there's a debate, whether this Mishnah is according to Rav Shimon Gamliel or not, whether Rav Shimon Gamliel, means that you have to actually eat the shior, or you be dealing with the shior, or not. Again, in challah, it's very easy. In challah, you could say, well, there's a presence of the shior, so there's a chiyuv. That maybe doesn't apply. The orez just doesn't block it out. In matzah, it's much more difficult, obviously, because, typically we're talking about being yotze, and therefore we're talking about, eating a kazayas. But either way, I didn't get back to that question, but again, this idea that the shear of challah may be also a relevant factor, for matzah, may make sense once we're trying to figure out the relationship between the ikar and the tafel in the context of a grera. So how much do you need? Do you need a little? Do you need a lot? Do you need even more? But I'll leave that for another time. But either way, that there's a question about Rav Shimon Gamliel. And the bigger question is, what is the basis for this halacha? Is it based on grera, like the Yerushalmi says? Is it based on tam ki ikar, like the Gemara in Tzvachim says? Either way, there are difficulties. And we tried to explain that the Rush Lishitaso thinks that this is just an extension of the din of tam ki ikar, with an added element in terms of matzah, where you need grera because of the factor of validei chimutz, and that he understands Reb Chaim Cohen would say that, and so on as well, that that's all his view of Rebbeinu Tam. Then there's the exact opposite sheet of the Ramban, where the Ramban generally thinks that's not how bittul works, and not what bittul does. Therefore, the heavy emphasis here is on Greira, but it's clear that the Ramban doesn't think that Greira is so much a physical or exclusively a physical process, but it's a process about, not transforming the Orez, but making, the whole Taroves into a Taroves of Lechem, Bitoras Kol. And then there are 2 days in the Ramban, whether that's because of, Regilus bnei Adam, this is what people do, or whether it's more of a physical thing. But even if it's more of a physical thing, I was trying to show that it isn't a transformation of the object. It's all about how the tafel of the orez, can integrate and be considered predominated in terms of identity, by this larger thing. And once you get into that, there are a lot of kulas and chumras, what the shear would be, and whether, the isa, has to be a shear, as or the amount has to be a shear, whether the amount has to be used, again, and these various issues, giving the example of the Ravid, etc. And then finally you have the Rajba in Piskei Challah, who thinks you need Greira and Kazayis Bechdei Achilas Pras from Shimon Gamliel. That is very Mechudash, and then almost the opposite view of the Rambam, if you think the Rambam, Kipshuto, if there's no implicit Greira or Rav Shimon Gamliel, because he doesn't say it in either place, so then the Rambam is very expansive in allowing for the Hagdara of Matzah and Challah, and that has its own implications. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for the lateness, and if there are any questions.